We turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 1 for our scripture reading. Now, we usually take a motto text at this time of the year, and we speak upon a motto text. And I'm taking a motto text this year again, and it's verses 30 and 31 of the portion of scripture. And it's not going to be easy to learn, for it is quite lengthy, but it says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place." Now, with our Bibles open before us, can we unite in a word of prayer? Our loving God and our gracious Father, we draw near into thy most holy presence in our Saviour's name. And as we come to thee, we thank thee for the wonderful God who is able to bear us up in the midst of all the circumstances of life. And we pray, Lord, that indeed we might be borne up of thee as we go into this year. We might walk in the very arms of God, with those surrounding arms blessing us and meeting us at the point of our need. Bless us, O God, as we look at thy word for a few moments now, and Lord, that we might be encouraged as we step out into 2007. Write thy word upon our hearts, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. The text that we're taking as our motto text here is part of a speech that was made by Moses. And he spoke to the children of Israel as they entered, or were about to enter into the promised land. They were about to go into that land that God had promised them. They were going to enter it without their great leader. Moses was going to leave them behind as they entered into that land. And Moses now wants to encourage them to go on, press on, into the place where God wanted them to be. Because Moses was very much aware of the fact that they might be afraid, that they might draw back. After all, that is what they had done before. Remember when they'd come before and they'd sent in the 12 spies and 10 had come back with an evil report, and they had looked at the greatness of the people of the land. They saw the defense cities. They saw the might of the giants that were in that place. And even though they saw that God had directed them to that place, they said, "We can't do it. We can't enter in." Now they'd come again, and the same danger was facing them. They saw the whole panorama of the land in front of them. They knew that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But there was still the giants, and there were still the defense cities, and there were still these great nations that were in the land. And there was a danger that once again, and in the very at the very borders of entering into the place where God wanted them to be, that they might draw back. And Moses knew that they might be unnerved, and that they might draw back from what God wanted them to be. So what did Moses do? Well, he reminded them of the word that he had brought in the first place. And he reminded of the people... of the God in whom they trusted. And what better encouragement could they have than a sight of the Lord? He said, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place." And as they faced a new leaf in the book of their history, and a new era, the best thing that Moses felt that he could do was direct them to God and encourage them to go forward. Now, we've entered into 2007, and we need to go forward. There are blessings in the past, and we think of those, but we want to go forward into a new year. And I am confident that there are blessings that God has for us in this year that is about to take place. We look forward to our Foundations conference with Dr. Cairns, and we look forward to the blessings of the mission in this being, and we hope that God and pray that God will bless in the salvation of precious souls and the building up of His people. But no doubt, as every other year, there will be difficulties along the path of 2007. And as we journey along the pathway of life, we see that there are things that we need to face. And I want you to notice that in the text that we have taken, that life's journey is depicted in actually three ways. If you look there carefully, he says that life is a journey, that life is a pathway. He says, the Lord your God which goeth before you. And that implies that they were going on a way, that they were on a pathway, that they were on a journey. They were traveling somewhere. And life is going to be a journey for us as we go down 2007. Now, where that journey will take us, perhaps we only know in a hazy way. But it will be a journey. And then something else, it will be a battle, a warfare. He says, the Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. And there's one thing that we can say, that there will be battles as we journey along the pathway of 2007. And then it depicts the journey of life in another way. It says it will be a wilderness. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee. So in the battle and in the journey and in the wilderness, we are going to need something this year. And what are we going to need? We're going to need the Lord. You need the Lord. Child of God, you need the Lord. Unsaved person, you need the Lord. And as we go into this year, I pray that above all things that we will lean upon the Lord. Well, Moses here, as he looks at life, portrays the Lord in three ways. Now, the three ways that he portrays the Lord are three ways that will meet them in the journey of life that they're going to travel as they enter into the promised land. And I want us to look at the Lord today as he's depicted for us in this motto text. And I pray that we will know the Lord by us in these ways as we go down the path of 2007. There are three ways then that the Lord is depicted for us in this text of Scripture. The first way that the Lord is depicted is as a forerunner. He says, the Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. And you notice that the Lord here is one that went before them. The Lord, your God which goeth before you. He's a forerunner. He goes before. He clears the path. And of course the children of Israel knew that the Lord was a forerunner, because every day as they woke up in the wilderness, they could see the cloudy, fiery pillar. And the cloudy, fiery pillar was the Shekinah glory of God. And it was the demonstration, the actual practical demonstration of the fact that the Lord was with them. And when that cloudy, fiery pillar journeyed and went somewhere, they had to follow along the pathway of life. So the children of Israel were very familiar with the fact that the Lord was a forerunner, that the Lord went before them. You know, the Lord, the way that the Lord goes before us is a wonderful encouragement for us. You know, in the British Army, there is a regiment which is known as the Royal Pioneer Corps. And the job of the Pioneer Corps is to lead the way. I think maybe that is actually their motto. Or at least it is something that has been right at the very start of their history. Pioneers, as their name implies, pioneered the way. They went before. And as that regiment has developed, what their duty is that they will dig out roads, or they will dig trenches, or sometimes they will lay rails so that the equipment, the army equipment or the guns or whatever needs to be brought to the front, they can bring that to the front or bring it to wherever it needs to be. And the pioneers go before the army and they make the way straight. Now that is the job of a forerunner. In ancient times, the kings had forerunners who would go before them. They would go into the towns and they would say, the king is coming, prepare the way for the king. And the Lord here depicts himself as a forerunner. You might have seen sometimes in the old films, cowboy films, of the scouts. that the U.S. Army had. They had Indian scouts from a rival tribe. And the idea of these scouts was that they would know the lie of the land, or they would know the way that a particular tribe would fight, or the way that they would think, or they would be able to translate for them what was going on. And the scout had the job of looking for the lie of the land. And that is what the Lord has done for us. That's the wonderful picture that we have here of the Lord. He's a forerunner. And we don't know what goes before us, what is lying down the road of 2007. There are certainly going to be traps that the devil has laid. There are certainly going to be untoward circumstances that we're going to face. But God goes before and He points out the traps and He gets round all the problems and He makes a way round everything. And if we walk with the Lord, He will bring us round all the things that might be in our way. Now as we look at the children of Israel and as they journeyed through the wilderness, you can see the way that the Lord was a forerunner for them. There were circumstances that the children of Israel faced. The Lord made a way through for them. You think of the trials that the children of Israel faced in the wilderness. Now, there were many trials as they looked for food. Sometimes they complained bitterly to the Lord because they lacked food or because they lacked water or because there were circumstances where the sun was beating down upon them and they were wondering why the Lord led them along the way that He did. But you know, in the midst of the trials, you know what God did? God sent them manna in the wilderness. And God had rocks prepared in the wilderness so that when they would come to those places, that the water would flow out of the rocks. And do you see the way that the Lord was a forerunner? There was no way that those children of Israel, a mighty host of them, would survive in a wilderness, in a desert atmosphere, without the help of God. If God had not gone before them, if there had not been a forerunner, they would have perished. And God brings us through testing circumstances. And God brings along the trials of life, that He may bring us forth as pure gold. And the children of Israel, you know what happened to them? They learned that God could provide for them. They learned that God could meet them at the point of their need, even in the midst of the trials. And they knew that God was a forerunner, that God had prepared the way for them. God has prepared a way for you this year, child of God. God has prepared a way, and He's your forerunner. He goes before you. He looks for the traps. He looks for the untoward things. And He's able to bring you through. There's a provision for you in this year. Even in the midst of the trials, God has made a provision for you. He says, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. Is the Lord a forerunner for you? Are you walking with Him through the difficulties and the trials of life? Not only did the children of Israel walk a way of trial and testing in the wilderness, but they walked a way of temptation. And the Lord was a forerunner for them in that as well. You remember the times when they were tempted to go back into bondage. They lacked food, or at least after a while, they became fed up with the manna that God sent them from heaven. And they said that they loathed the food that God had given them. And they looked for the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. And they wanted to go back. Said to Moses, we're away. We're away back to the bondage. We're away back to Egypt. And you know, this will be a year in which there will be many temptations. There will be temptations to go back. There will be temptations to turn away from the path that God has brought you on. There will be temptations to lower the flag. Temptations to get back into the world. Temptations to do things that we shouldn't do. There'll be temptations to lower the flag of separation. Many evangelicals today are being tempted to cool it a little bit. Oh, don't be just so strident. Don't be just so bold in your stand for God and for the commands of God and for the Word of God. We are being told that we shouldn't preach on certain subjects that are in the Word of God, that we shouldn't be so bold in our preaching of hell or judgment or these things. And there are churches in America today where they tailor the message to bring in as many people as possible, and they take out what would be thought to be unsavory parts of the message, and they compromise the gospel to get people in. And they do get people in. And that is the temptation. That's where the temptation comes, because other evangelicals look at the seeming success of that scheme. And maybe you have these mega churches with thousands of people, but the message has been compromised in order to get the people in. And there are temptations, and there will be temptations, to lower the flag, not to be so strong. But you know, the Lord is a forerunner, and the Lord provides a way out of the temptations. You know what it says in God's Word, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Lord says this: "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You notice what God has done? He makes the way of escape. And now He doesn't say that you'll not be tempted. It doesn't say that there'll not be trials and testings. But God does say to His people that there's a way out. He's made the way. He's gone the way before to make sure that there is a way out of the temptations. You will be able to bear it. You'll be able to stand strong in the midst of the temptations. So that the children of Israel had trials and testings, and they had temptations in the wilderness, but God was their forerunner. They also had tragedies along the pathway that they brought journey to the promised land. The life of the children of Israel in the desert for 40 years actually was one long tragedy, because they had come to the banks of Jordan before and they could have entered in, but they didn't believe God. The 10 spies said, "We're not able to get in there. The task is too difficult. The task is too onerous for us. There are giants. There are mighty defenses. We can't." You know what they did? They forgot about God. They forgot about God who was able to bring them through. Moses here said, "The Lord's able to fight for you." But they forgot about that. But you notice what the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that said, "We can go in." Notice what was true about them. They believed in God. They looked to the forerunner. They said, "God will go before us. God will fight for us. And God will be in the midst of the battle. And God will be with you in your battles this year." You know, you might be facing a situation that is so bad, you don't know what to do. You don't know how it's going to go for you this year. And already, as you look into 2007, there are things that you anticipate, and you don't know how you're going to face them. But there's a God who is able to bring you through. There's a God who is there to meet you at the point of your need, and will bring you out, and has made a way of escape. Never think, child of God, that you're in a place you can't get out of. For God has made a way out. He's a forerunner for you in the battle in 2007. Not only is He a forerunner in the journey that we will go in 2007, but the Lord is a fighter. You see what He says here: "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you." The Lord has not only gone before us, and not only made a way for us, and made the way straight for us, but He will actually fight for us in this battle that we face down through the year. And we will face a battle. There'll be something wrong if God's people do not have a battle to face. The Bible says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." There are battles in the year that goes before us. And of course we think of the battles on the national front, as far as perhaps the awful legislation that has just come into vogue on Monday there, the Sexual Offences Act. Of course, the news has portrayed that the Christian Institute lost the fight over that. That they lost the fight to stop the legislation coming into force. And the legislation did come into force. But the Christian Institute also won a judicial review of that legislation. The court said there was a case to answer against the legislation. And that is coming up in March. And you might have thought, because you listened to the news, that our prayers were not answered. We were praying that God would give victories in these court cases. And the Lord did give a victory, because there is a judicial review. You think of that those Roberts people who were brought before the police and interviewed by the police and accused because they complained of the gay literature being left in the council offices, and they wanted Christian literature to be left as a balance to it, and they were interviewed by the police and brought before the courts, and now they have won damages. So God has been answering, but God has been in this battle. The Lord has been in this battle. But there will be battles in the year that lies ahead. We will have this battle in March, and we will have battles against the legislation they're proposing for the opening of bookies shops on Sundays and all sorts of things. And we will face these battles in 2007. But God is in the battle. God will fight for us. But not only have we these special battles, but we could think of the ordinary battles, what we might call the ordinary battles of life. Because as the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness, they faced three great enemies which are speaking to us and picturing for us the ordinary battles of life. For example, there were three nations that they faced. They faced the Egyptians at the start, they faced the Amorites, and they faced the Amalekites. They faced the Amorites when they came into the land. But in the wilderness, that's the three nations they faced. Now, what does Egypt speak of? Well, Egypt in the Bible always speaks of the world. We always portray Egypt as a great picture of the world and all its religion and its pomp and its ceremony and all the rest of it. Egypt speaks of the world. You remember what happened to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? What happened to them? Pharaoh and the Egyptians pursued them. And one thing that is true and will be sure this year, child of God, is that the world will be after you. The world will be pursuing you. The world will be chasing you, and it won't let go. It won't give up. It won't give you peace. It will try to infiltrate your life. It will try to infiltrate your business. And it will try to infiltrate your recreations and your thoughts and all that you do. We face a propaganda campaign by the world today and the worldly values of today. But the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And you guard yourself against the world, child of God. The world is after you. Worldly entertainment is after you. Worldly thought patterns are after you. Worldly thinking is after you. Love not the world. That is the enemy that the children of Israel faced as they journeyed through the wilderness. You'll face that battle. And then there was another enemy. We think of the Moabites. Now, we were thinking of the Moabites a few Sundays ago when we were looking at Eglon, the king of Moab. And what did we say he was a picture of? He's a picture of the flesh. Remember the fat king that Ehud fought against. And we said that he's a great picture of the flesh. And the Moabites generally were a great picture of the flesh. Because what did the Moabites do? Well, the Moabites tried to bring down Israel by means of mixed marriages. By a series of mixed marriages. They tried to intermingle the true seed of God with the seed of Moab. And the Bible speaks of the lusts of the flesh. And by these lusts, as it were, they sought to entice and entrap the children of Israel. So it's a great picture of the flesh. And of course, we think of the fleshly sins that we're being faced with today, that sexual offences legislation. We have the homosexual lobby and their agenda that's been forced down our throat. We have a permissive agenda today which has been forced upon us. And you look at the media today and you realise, if you look at it and examine it, how that loving marriage, you hardly get that in the media today. And it has come to the point where the media has so infiltrated the minds of people that they believe that a loving marriage and stable marriage is almost an impossibility. That's the propaganda of the flesh. And there is an onslaught. There are stories about unwholesome things. Celebrities who live unwholesome lives, and they are being held up as the examples before people today. They're being held up as, and their lifestyle has been examined, and that has been portrayed by before people as the way to go. We will face a battle with the flesh. And then the third battle that they fought was with the devil. Amalek, of course, is a great picture of the devil, because the Bible says that the children of Israel had war with Amalek from generation to generation. And of course, the devil doesn't give up. In every generation, there will be a fight and a war against the devil. The devil wants to shut the door of the gospel, preaching church, and shut the mouth of the gospel preaching preacher. And he will use all sorts of means to do that. He will come with disagreements and with dissensions, and he will try to make the gospel unpopular, and he will try to make the preacher afraid to preach the whole counsel of God, and the doctrines of the gospel are under attack today. And that is the battle line that is drawn. The devil is in a battle to stop sinners hearing the gospel. He doesn't want you, unsaved person, to hear that message. And if you do hear it, he wants you to dismiss it. He wants you to put it to the back of your mind. Now that is the battle in the incoming year. We are in a battle to get unsaved people to hear the gospel message. And in a battle to get you, unsaved person, to heed that message. Not to hear the devil's propaganda. Not to take heed to that which the devil wants to force upon you. And he will send his minions to snatch away the good seed of the gospel. We're in a battle to get you to hear and heed the word of God. That is a battle that we're in. And we're willing to be in that battle. We want to be in that battle, because if we're not in that battle, child of the devil today, unsaved person, you will perish. You know, we live in a day in which there are lovey-dovey people who want to say that God is not a God of warfare or a God of battle. But you know, I read in the Bible about the God of heaven being a God of battle. We read in the book of Revelation how that Satan and his minions were cast out of the courts of heaven. He says, I saw Satan as lightning fall, or Satan cast as lightning from heaven. Our God is a God of war. He is a God of battle. He is in the battle for righteousness. He's in the battle for truth. And if you, child of God, are going to follow him, you will be in the battle too. There are so many of God's people who are not in the battle today. Oh, you come along and you take part in meetings and come along in the Lord's Day. But are you in the battle of prayer? Are you in the battle of witness? Are you in the battle for God? Are you in the warfare? Are you on the front line for God today? There's a battle. It's a battle. And God will fight for us in the battle. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that the God of war is my captain in this great battle today. So the Lord is a forerunner. And the Lord is a fighter. But then there's a third thing that the Lord is. He is a father. Now the Lord is a forerunner on the pathway of life. He's a fighter in the battle of life. But then he is a father in the wilderness of life. Look at what it says in the text. It says, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son all the way that ye went until ye come into this place. Now, as the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, I want you to see that the Lord was there to be with them in the wilderness as a father. He bare them up as a father in the midst of the wilderness. He would be there as a father in the wilderness journey. The wilderness journey was no easy matter. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 15, it speaks of the wilderness journey, and it says about the Lord who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock as the rock of flint. So the Lord was there to bear them up in the midst of those trying circumstances. And you know what the Lord will do as a father? He will guide us as a father. Now, a father will always want to direct his children in the right direction. The word bear thee there is a word which actually means will lift up your head. It speaks of encouragement. It speaks of lifting you up, bearing you up, and encouraging you. When your spirit's flying, when you're about to be weary, he lifts you up. And of course, that's what the Lord does. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, we read, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. I'll help thee." And how often it is that the Lord guides us and directs us and helps us. I'm glad I've a help in the wilderness of life. I'm glad I've a Lord to lean upon who will guide me in the dark places and in the droughts of this old world. There's a God who lifts up my head. Do you know a God like that? Do you know one who lifts you up as you face into 2007 and the circumstances that you face? Is there a Lord to lift up your head? Is he your God today? Will he be a father to you? Or is he your father? You can't say that he's your father if you've rejected him. If you're not his son today, he's not your father. But he is a father to those that trust in him, and he guides them. Not only will he guide them, but he will guard them. Now, in normal circumstances, a father will guard his children. Now, he will not stop his children getting into circumstances that may be slightly dangerous. A normal father doesn't put a wall around his child or keep his child in a room somewhere so they can't get out and face the difficulties that there are in life. He knows that his children will face difficulties. He knows that there will be untoward circumstances. But what he wants to do is guard them against those circumstances and bring qualities into their lives so that they will be able to face the untoward circumstances. And that's what God does for his people. You know, we read about Hezekiah in the days when Sennacherib was coming against him with a mighty army. And if you turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and look at verse 7, you read about the battle that they faced there. And in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, it says how Hezekiah was being encouraged. And it says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor of all the multitude that is with him. For there is none with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight, and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. There were battles, and we've seen there are battles. But he says here, "I'll guard you, I'll help you, I'll be with you." Is the Lord with you? Is the Lord with you? As you face into this year, have you a God who has washed your sins away? And no matter what the circumstances may be, he'll fight for you. He'll be your God. And he'll be with you. Now we're going into a new year. I don't know what lies ahead, and neither do you. I am sure there will be difficulties. I'm sure there will be blessings. I'm sure there will be awful trials as well as bright triumphs. But thank God, if we face this year with a forerunner, and with a fighter, and with a father, can you face the year with those three things? Have you a forerunner, and a fighter, and a father who will be with you? Men and women, if you don't know him, come to him today. If you've wandered away, come back to him. Let him be your father. Let him be your fighter. Let him be your forerunner as you face into 2007, for there is none better who can meet you at the point of your need. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for the forerunner. We thank Thee for the fighter. We thank Thee for the Father who is with us along the journey of life. And our God, we pray for any who know not Thee, that they might come today and trust Thee and find Thee whom to know is life eternal. O God, write Thy word upon hearts, draw sinners to Thyself, and bless us each and every one. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.